KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music, if it is geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. I am Joe, and with me is
Caleb
and
Jason.
That's right. We're back again.
Woo!
Every Thursday until they chop us up into little pieces and turn us into geek tuna.
Yeah,
until repackage us.
Until the actual robot takeover is, you know.
That's true.
Whichever comes first.
Yeah. The
tuna or
robots taking over. I'd like to think at least if the robots take over, we might have a better chance of
It's true, yeah.
Sticking around a little bit longer, because once we're chopped up into tuna, there's not really much we can do.
It's a good point, yeah. It's turned into geek sashimi.
Yeah. Hey, what a great way to start off the show.
Yeah.
Let's bring it up from there.
Okay.
So
we can only go up from here.
Yeah. See, we go low. So then we can just go straight up.
Right.
None of this going up first and then slowly coming down. No, we start, bam, right on the bottom then go right up.
Start climbing.
That's right. So if you're unfamiliar with the show, we are a geek-centric talk show. We talk about the movies, the video games, tech stuff, comic books, anything under the sort of geek bracket we try to hit.
It's a broad spectrum because it's
large.
It's big, but
a lot of light.
People are geeks about things that not necessarily realize they're being geeks about.
It's true. You can be a sports geek.
It's called fantasy football, folks.
D&D, fantasy football, the exact same thing. There's a chart for that and everything.
Yeah.
it's been proven.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how much dice they roll in fantasy football, but yeah.
The basic premise is still the same. It's things that aren't real. Related to things that aren't real, talking about things that aren't real, but everyone's bragging about it, as if they had some sort of control over the outcome.
It's true. It's very true.
There you go.
And speaking of things that are true,
we've
got a great show for you tonight.
Indeed we do.
Yep.
We've got some good topics for the core, I'm assuming.
Yes, as always.
As always. And of course, we've got some geek talk to talk about, and the news.
Yes. Good news. And the new releases, I believe. Is that next?
Oh, no. We're not doing that anymore.
Yeah,
we are. Of course, yeah.
Away.
Just, you know what? Just take your laptop, throw it in the trash,
and then leave. I'll take it.
Well, it'll still be in the trash. Once he leaves, you can take it.
Yes. You can throw that away now.
No, my precious. That's mine. That is not in the theater this week.
No, it is not.
Your laptop or any Lord of the Rings related movies.
No, Smeaker's not on the television this time. No,
no.
Not this time at all.
I'm reasonably sure you can find that laptop in a movie someplace.
with a sticker over the emblem.
That is maybe true. And maybe it'll be in this film here, which I'm going to start us off.
Yeah.
In the new releases of If I Stay, Mia Hall thought the hardest decision she would ever face would be whether to pursue her musical dreams at Juilliard or follow a different path to be with the love of her life, Adam. But what should have been a carefree family drive changes everything in an instant, and now her own life hangs in the balance, caught between life and death for one revealing day. Mia has only one decision left, which will not only decide her fate and her future, but ultimately everything.
Including her past?
Yes.
Okay.
Present and future.
She's going to be like the Bleach dude. That's the secret Shania Malamalamalan twist at the end of this movie. The Bleach people show up.
Okay.
And then they're like,
I'm more interested. You're joining this. Movie this. Now.
Yeah.
That movie got a lot better all of a sudden.
That may or may not happen. Second, but maybe you'll just have to go and see it.
Perhaps.
Next, did not have a synopsis, which was kind of a pain, but it doesn't really need one. Sin City, A Dame to Kill For.
Yeah.
Mm. If you've seen posters for it, if you've seen trailers for it, TV spots, if you're interested in the style, you're probably going to go and see it. If you liked the first Sin City, you're probably going to go and see it. So,
basically, if you want the rundown, there's a city. There's some sin going on in the city.
And there's a dame in that city
who's worth killing for. May or may not be worth killing for. And that's where the interest of the story comes from, is finding that out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Indeed.
And if you want to see some more Josh Brolin, there you go. You get some more Josh Brolin. If that doesn't float your boat, Josh Brolin or Sin City, maybe you want to see When the Game Stands Tall, a young coach turns a losing high school football program around to go undefeated for 12 consecutive seasons. If you're not interested in football or high school movies and anything like that, maybe this one's more up your alley. Love is Strange. Ben and George, both played by John Lithgow and Alfred Molina, take advantage of New York's new marriage laws and tie the knot after being together for 39 years. Unfortunately, the Catholic school where George teaches does not approve, and they reluctantly fire him, forcing the couple to split up and stay with friends while they sell their apartment and look for cheaper housing. No idea if this is a drama, comedy, I don't know. But, you know, maybe you're not interested in any sort of love, be it strange or normal. But you like Blades. And maybe your number of Blades you really like are 14 of them. Well, there's 14 Blades.
Hey.
Trained in clandestine combat from childhood, bear with me, folks. Genia, we're masters of the 14 Blades. Above the law,
that was masterful.
With a license to kill, they devoted their lives and lethal prowess to the service of the Emperor alone. When the Imperial Court is taken over by evil eunuch Gia, the best of the Jinwenwei, Quinlong, is assigned to steal a list identifying those still loyal to the Emperor. Unbeknownst to Quinlong, the Jinwenwei have fallen under the control of Gia, and during the mission, he's betrayed and barely escapes with his life.
That's some serious stuff going on there.
So we'll see how many blades it takes for you to get excited for 14 blades.
I'm hoping all 14.
All 14 blades.
Right.
Maybe
I don't want one to feel left out. I mean,
maybe the surprise Shyamalama twist is that there's really 15 blades or the 14 blades. Yes.
Okay.
We're really in your heart.
Okay.
Wow, that could be painful, though, if those 14 blades actually in your heart. Oh, wait.
No, it's not
metaphor.
Literally.
Ah, yes. Metaphor. Yeah.
Not literally.
Nothing goes over my head.
It's symbolically painful is what it is.
Yes.
It is.
14 blades.
Mm-hmm.
And there you have it. A little handful of some films coming to the theater this week.
Perhaps you're done with the theater and you wish to enjoy your viewing of sequential imagery at home.
Yeah.
Perhaps you would be interested in these fine things on small silver discs. Only Lovers Left Alive on Blu-ray and DVD. A pair of vampires wax poetic over the future of humanity. They must also come to grips with their own fate as the blood pool has been tainted by zombies.
Wow.
All the while balancing the need to feed and keeping Eve's wild sister in check. Then there is The Quiet Ones. On Blu-ray and DVD, a group of psychology PhD students decide that their final experiment should be to create a poltergeist. What could possibly go wrong? That's not the one I was supposed to talk about. That's all right.
We'll never forgive you.
Quiet ones Then there is The Empty Hours on DVD. When a young man takes over his uncle's hourly motel, he meets a young woman who's is constantly kept waiting by her lover. As the relationship blossoms, the director takes the viewer on a journey through the heart. There is no MPAA rating, but safe
literally
to say,
through the heart,
right?
Or is this like another?
This one's also metaphorical.
Okay.
Okay.
This horse's anus.
There is no MPAA rating, but let's just put it safely. It's not for the kids.
Yeah, it sounds like there's some themes there. Mm-hmm.
There's some themes going on that probably right. aren't
thematically. It's not for the kiddos.
Wrapping up, it is Mana Kama Mana on DVD. This film focuses on one aspect of life in Nepal, the pilgrimage to worship Mana Anakama Mana A. An interesting look at the slice of life, which won't tell you all about life there, but will hopefully help you see it in a new way.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay.
Before you get to video games.
Yes.
Drano, bated breath. I'm excited you're on the edge of your seat.
I am.
Here's something else that the audience can get on the edge of their seat of. Unless they're driving, don't do that because that might be dangerous.
Mm. Right.
Ticket giveaways. Do you want free tickets to a concert? KSU has got you covered. Just listen and you could win. To see which shows we're giving away tickets for, go to KSU.org and click on promotions. We don't give tickets away during our show, but many of the other shows on the station do. Right. So
the more music-centric shows are more likely to give you a ticket to a music show.
Yeah.
Well, and we want to help the other guys out.
Exactly.
We don't want to hog everything.
Yeah.
I know. We need
we
to
have a good station here. You should check us out when it's not our show, but definitely stay tuned while it is our show.
Yes.
Don't leave.
Please don't.
Don't do it.
They'll put us back in the boxes if you leave us.
Especially for video game new releases.
Yay!
If you hadn't heard, Diablo 3 is finally getting its release on the... I don't know whether it's still next gen or current gen. Basically,
it's current.
PS4 and Xbox One are finally getting a version of Diablo 3. It's
current.
Going to be the Ultimate Evil Edition, which Ooh. Includes the first DLC from the PC version.
Reaper of Souls.
Reaper of Souls, yes. It sounds like the reviews are pretty solid. It sounds like the main speciality of the game so far is that it's basically taken all of the polish that the game has acquired over the last year or so since it's been released on PC and made it into an incredibly solid first outing on this system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you have last-gen system, it's available on them as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
And it's quite good on those. I wasn't sure that Diablo would translate onto a console, but they did a fantastic job. I'd almost venture to say it's better on the console, slightly. A different experience. Very, very, anyways, very fluid. Very
yeah,
fluid.
I was really surprised how much it feels like a classic video game instead of anything that uses a mouse. But
yeah, it looked like they took the care and effort to actually, like, okay, people are going to be using a controller. How can we make this smooth? And
how do we make this work? Yeah.
But besides that, if you're looking for your fix of Zilla, Tales of Zilla 2 is coming out.
Two!
Or actually came out on Tuesday. It sounds like it's basically more of the same from the first one, which if you're a huge fan of the first one, I'm sure you're really happy about. It sounds like they've pretty much just altered some subtle character building changes. And otherwise, it sounds like everything that you'll like from the first one is going to be in this one. But the first one is definitely required reading, viewing, playing before getting to this one.
Uh-huh.
Don't even try it without it. Also, in the realm of sequels, if you thought Chess needed a sequel,
Chess.
It's got it. It's got it. Chess 2, the sequel, is coming out on, or is out on PC. It's from the world-renowned designer David Serlin, and so it's... It sounds like it has some pretty interesting tweaks on it. There's multiple types of armies to play from, asymmetrical play. It's got pretty much the requisite online and offline versions at this point also.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it sounds interesting. Meanwhile, if you were looking for... Let's see... if you were waiting with bated breath for Hotline Miami to come out on PS4, it finally did.
Two?
Actually, the original. So the PS4 version of the original Hotline Miami
okay.
has been released. as well as Plants vs. Zombie Garden Warfare is finding its way onto PS4 as well. the last one that I'll wrap up with is one that looked pretty interesting to me called Invisible Ink. It looks like it's trying to work with a more tactical, turn-based type of system to take on a world of corporate espionage. Okay. And it has a really nifty style to it and has really kind of starts from the dark and works up, kind of like the old Batman animated series works.
Okay.
Okay.
And so it ends up with a really neat art style because of it.
Adding lightness to a dark background as opposed to adding darkness to a light
right.
background.
Yeah.
It seems like it shouldn't make a difference, but the logic and the way the brain constructs the image as you look at it, it creates a different style of create interesting visual tension.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very cool. So from video games to the fine land of comic books. That's right. From the East Coast, we're bringing you, it's Multiversity, number one from DC Comics. This is a beginning of a series that covers the multiverse of DC, which they sort of tried to do away with in Crisis Across Infinite Earths, but I think they're sort of embracing the fact that they can tell Elseworld stories in this, like Earth 18, Earth 20, Earth 10, so on and so forth.
Okay.
So they have all new characters, all new adventures, many new twists on ones you may know and others that are just completely new.
Okay.
Over on the Marvel side, it's Wolverine Annual, number one. This is the third issue and the 3 months to live story arc. So now we're down to 1 month to live.
Uh-oh. 1 month left.
And this time, Wolverine is hanging out with Jubilee and her son, over in Japan. Yes, in Shogo, Japan. So they're in the middle of a wilderness. What could possibly go wrong? Again, you know, these people, you would think they would watch a couple movies and realize that this never ends well.
But it's like the wilderness in Japan. I mean, do they have like crazy wilderness creatures in Japan that you should be afraid of?
Ninjas.
And there's also wolves.
Okay.
I'm sure there's other things. I'm not as familiar with the fauna of the outskirts of Japan myself.
Educate yourself.
I will work on that. Over here on
Discipline.
Then there's The Strain, Night Eternal, number one. This is a spinoff from the series The Strain, which is also a TV series now. The Master's plan has succeeded, and the near apocalypse of the light over the Earth is nearly complete. While we are in the grips of despair, people are still trying to fight the good fight and keep the zombies at bay and the vampires. Then from IDW, it's Little Nemo, Return to Slumberland. Now, this one isn't here because I really am excited about this idea and like uncertain about the idea because I really like the original. Mm. Not as familiar with it as I would like to be, but Little Nemo in Slumberland was by Winsor McKay as a fantastically beautiful piece of comic illustration work. So,
one of my favorite classic video games as well. Not well, I guess it's arguable whether it's classic. To me, it's a classic.
it's in the era of classic.
It's definitely cool. I'll put it that way.
Now, DMX2, Return to Slumberland, number one. It is being done by award-winning creators Eric Schanauer and Gabriel Rodriguez. So it has good people working on it. I just hope it's as good as I would like it to be. And I'm going to round out this list with The Fade Out, number one from Image. It's the latest from Ed Brubaker, and it's about a crime wave in it's a murder mystery in 1948 Hollywood. And down on his luck, writer has is in the middle of a street war, And he also has seemingly knowledge of the impending death of a rising starlet. So, interesting. If you like Ed Brubaker's writing style, probably want to check it out.
Nice. So moving from the world of comic books to the world of music. And the part where I get to butcher more names. So you get to start us off with Smokey and Friends, new album by Smokey well Robinson. Yep. Well, it starts a little high here, but it's just going to get down low. This is a covers release of some of the R&B singer's hits, featuring duets with some people like Sheryl Crow, Elton John, James Taylor, Steven Tyler, and many more. Then we've got a new album from Engelmann Heap called Sparks. It's the fourth solo release for the British singer-songwriter. Includes guest appearances from DEADMAU5 and Vishal Shekhar. Then we have a new album from Dragon Force.
Nice.
That's right. Dragon Force is back with Maximum Overload. It's the sixth full-length release. It's Maximum. Can't do any more Overload. This is the max.
You were discouraged from doing any more overload than this.
No more Overload. This is Maximum. It's the sixth full-length release for the British power metal band, now led by Mark Hudson, was produced by Jens Bogren. Then we have a new album from Wiz Khalifa called Black Hollywood. That's B-L-A-C-C.
Okay.
It's the fifth full-length studio release for the Grammy-nominated rapper. Features guest appearances from Currency. That's with a money sign. Ghost Loft, Juicy J, Nicki Minaj, Nas, Project Pat, Rick Ross, Schoolboy, the H is capital. Schoolboy Q. Still the H capital. Snoop Dogg, 2 G's. Ty Dolla Sign, that's a dollar sign for the S. And Chevy Woods. I'm just hoping the audience, that they're writing it down, and they need to, you know.
It's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, it's a visual name, so you just say it out loud, it doesn't have the same impact.
Yeah, right. I'm trying to show some respect.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Some of those guys were featured all in the incredibly cheesy but awesome Shell Shock song.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you're unfamiliar, they play at the end of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, new movie. But anyway, and the last one is a new album from Kimbra called The Golden Echo. It's the second full-length release for the New Zealand-born singer-songwriter, was produced by Rich Costi. So there you have it, a sampling of music, comic books, movies, video games.
And one more.
One more.
Our fine friends at Wow Cool have thrown back some cool recommendations.
Nice.
They also recommended The Fade Out, which means it's probably a pretty solid choice.
Okay.
Then there's Steve Lafler's Death in Oaxaca, number one, and Hip Hop Family Tree, number two, by Ed Piskor. And I've been seeing some of the Hip Hop Family Trees, the boingboing.com blog of amusing things. Likes to put up pages from that, and it's interesting stuff.
Okay. I wonder if any of the people in Wiz Khalifa's album are featured in any of them.
Pretty decent chance, because it's covering kind of the history of hip hop as it goes. It's pretty interesting.
Cool. Speaking of things that are interesting, especially if you're an animal lover and you want to help homeless animals find their forever homes, but you got limited time to volunteer, well, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. All right. Of course, we're going to take a music break. We always take a music break after we do the new releases. And we always tease the folks some news that's coming up. And, of course, we tell people how they can participate on the show, just like Wow Cool Comics.
Well, that's right. If you want to be cool like Wow Cool, you can find us on Facebook. Do facebook.com/robotsattackshow. Or you can find us on Twitter. We are robotsattackme. And finally, our email address is robotsattackshow@gmail.com. But if you're like, wait, I just want one place. Just give me one thing.
Just one. So just many one things thing. Throwing at me.
Robots attack www.thegeekitson.me. That will take you to our own webpage where we have archive episodes of our show and links that will take you directly to all the other things that I have already mentioned. It's that awesome.
Nice. All right. Let's tease the folks some news before we get to that music break.
Marvel Comics has managed to find themselves in hot water once again.
What?
Yes.
Oh, man, we're going to find out that hot water.
Mm. Yeah. And Netflix and the Oculus VR.
Whoa. I know my mind is blown. I know your mind is being blown out there, wondering the possibilities of what exactly Marvel could be in trouble for and what the combining powers of the Oculus Rift and Netflix could be.
I didn't
say
anything about trouble. I said warm water.
Said hot water. All right, let's get to that music, and we'll be right back with more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We are now heading into...
News.
That's right, we're in the news.
Yay!
Who has our first news story?
I'll start us off. Okay, Marvel Comics has been catching the heat in the last day or so, thanks to a problem that seems to be getting to be bigger and bigger with comics, and that is populating a list of limited edition number one covers.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody wants to have...
the number one.
Well, and they always want to have the variant covers, like a whole bunch of different types of them, so that it ends up bolstering sales even more.
Right.
Well, Marvel decided to use somebody who's fairly well known for doing adult-themed material for one of their covers for Spider-Woman. And it's a pretty cover, I'll say that. But
well executed, yes.
Unfortunately, it definitely shows that this is somebody who has done adult-themed work. And a lot of other people noticed as well. So Marvel has gotten in a lot of trouble with a lot of different women's groups because it's effectively Spider-Woman climbing over a ledge. But the angle of the shot is basically the entire thing because it ends up showing every single curve of her butt.
Oh, okay.
And so... it could have been much worse, but it's still pretty bad.
Okay.
That said, I don't know if it's worth burning down the world for this image, but it is kind of interesting that Marvel decided to take a chance with somebody who's more well-known for adult material for a variant cover on something like this.
Mm-hmm.
So... it'll be interesting to see how it all washes out. Right now, it looks like it's kind of a bigger deal just because Marvel has been trying to rebrand itself with having like female versions of Thor and first Black Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not first, but first possibly ongoing version of Captain America.
Yeah.
And so... this has kind of been classified as, well, you've been doing really good, but it's kind of two steps back territory again.
Okay. And the picture is in the article?
Yes.
So, okay. Just so those, which we, all our articles we post on our Facebook and Twitter pages, so just since people want to go and check it out if they're not able to at the moment, they can go and see.
I sort of on a humorous note, in my view, I completely just blame Peter Parker for the entire thing because he's always there with his camera ready to take pictures from really amazing angles, and it just lands Marvel in hot water when they publish those pictures.
Parker!
Right.
This guy right here.
Stop thinking with your Peter!
Well played. All right, so from questionable material, questionable reactions to questionable material on choice and choices made to choices that are potentially more fun and less controversial, the fine folks at Netflix have teamed up with they had a what's called a Hack Day, which is an event that happens here in the Silicon Valley. Tech companies, they get people to programmers, technologists together, and they say, if you could, you have 24 hours or 48, and you have a very limited amount of time to create something, make something cool with our product. And people make all kinds of, you know, nutsy things. Some of them are more or less exercises in design or programming
okay.
ideas or exercises. And some of them are actually kind of are really, really, really cool, and we really hope they see the light of day. The Netflix had one of these recently, and the Oculus, a team from Oculus showed up, and this one actually, it's not going to happen tomorrow, but I think that there's a better than average chance that this one might actually turn into something. They've made a thing called the Rift UI for the but the interface with Netflix, so you can actually sort of be in a 3D-esque theater,
okay.
see a 3D movie in the comfort of your own home, and you don't need
need the pesky interaction with people.
or the glasses that may or may not work for you. I mean, some people have had that issue as well. Yes, you do still need an Oculus Rift, which, put that on your head, nobody looks cool wearing that on their head. But the fact is...
Come on. I thought I was rocking it.
It can be interesting. But, like, no. But yeah, it would be a way of bringing, like, HD 3D to the home without having to create 3D TVs that have never quite caught on. But this might be a way to... Because you're already immersing yourself into, if you're putting this gear on your head,
mm-hmm.
you're already after a 3D experience or a more enclosed experience. So having it be, quote unquote, trendy or gimmicky with 3D wouldn't be such a terrible thing. And I don't know. It just sounds like a really interesting idea. And I really hope that the Oculus One makes it to market, and two, that this really turns into something, even if it's for the small number of people that are going to be owning an Oculus at first.
Uh-huh. Yeah, never. Usually it's tied in with some sort of game or like
a
travel kind of thing. But yeah, that's an interesting way to look at, like, tied in with Netflix. And I'm sure Netflix would be excited for that.
Yeah. And Netflix is always trying to push technology, video streaming technology as well. So this could be another avenue for saying, hey, look, we can give you 3D content like this, and it'll still be 3D HD. And it's like, that's kind of rad.
Yeah. And just put their service on anything. Pretty soon your toaster will have Netflix. So.
Pretty much. If it doesn't stream Netflix now, you got to question if it's attached to the internet.
Your refrigerator with the little monitor, like, you'll be able to watch Netflix on it.
Mm-hmm. It'll just follow you around the house.
Yeah. Speaking of things that could follow you around.
Okay.
That are the size of an ant if he uses his powers to turn down into an ant. Like, maybe an ant in someone's kitchen. Anyway.
Okay.
They started filming Ant-Man in San Francisco.
Okay.
They revealed, like, the first picture. It's got... Paul Rudd, he's playing Scott Lang. I mean, you know, we're
Sir Rudd.
Sir Rudd. I mean, you know, we're trying to hit all the Ant-Man topics here on Robots Attack, because we know no one else really will. And not again, I kind of forget why, because really none of us here are huge Ant-Man fans. But
hey,
we're jumping on it.
There's been a lot of stories about it, but
that's true.
Yeah,
it's been a lot of rocky stuff. But anyway. The first image has been revealed that shows Paul Rudd in a hoodie kind of jacket and the Golden Gate Bridge right behind him. Right. So you know it's in San Francisco.
Yeah.
There's a busted up van there.
Also proof.
Proof, yeah. Rudd shared his excitement for his Marvel Studios project with the site, saying the way technology has advanced just in the last few years, picturing this world, what they can do with this kind of storyline and character, I thought this could be something that could be very strange and hasn't been seen before. The site also confirmed that the recently announced casting of Madman's John Slattery is in fact a reprisal of his role in Iron Man 2 as Howard Stark.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So that could be interesting.
So yeah, it's finally started filming.
Yeah.
Because it needs to, because it's got to hit the July 17th, 2015 release. So they need to get on that.
Yeah. And an interesting note, as of 2 weeks ago, it didn't have a finalized script. So
yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how the movie turns out.
Well, hopefully they can pull it together. So far, Marvel's had a pretty decent track record.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm hoping Ant-Man isn't the thing that breaks it.
Right.
Although, if there was something to break, Ant-Man's kind of the hardest sell. One of the harder sells as a character for the Marvel Universe. So, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I think we have our faith, but it's a lot of rockiness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, without getting into Pym Tech or Stark Tech.
Before Stark Tech and Pym Tech, because that stuff that Jason's about to tell you can be found here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound, during Robots Attack, the Geek Central talk show that you are listening to right now, and don't you dare change the station. Because Jason's got an awesome story that you want to hear right now.
Ah, station ID. Thank you.
Yeah. Subtle, huh?
Totally.
Just got to smoothly fit that right in.
Right. Okay, now I have to salvage my segue. Speaking of segues, not unlike a segue. The company Segway. Leaf Technologies was founded back in October 2013 with the simple idea of trying to create an electric snowboard.
Okay. That you ride on the snow, or do you ride on, like, city streets?
City streets.
Interesting.
I'm glad you asked that, because that probably needed stating. But anyway,
just to clarify,
if you're not familiar with the idea, there's a device that became popular back in the 90s called a freeboard that basically is just a skateboard on a couple of casters. So it allows you to do snowboarding style maneuvers on a skateboard type of environment.
I saw people riding those. Those are wicked weird.
Yeah, and the downside of them, best I understand from this story, is that it's just like snowboarding. It's a downhill type of thing. So unless you have easy access to San Francisco or other places with nice hills, it ends up being a less than fun. Perfect experience.
Yeah.
But still a very unique experience. And this company came up with the idea, well, if we could power this somehow, we can make a really interesting experience that would kind of break physics in a weird sort of way as well. Mm-hmm. Just because, I mean, if you're familiar with snowboarding, because it's completely a downhill thing and because you have more maneuverability in how you carve and so on, if you are able to accelerate at any point in that process, it creates some interesting maneuvers pretty easily.
Okay, I'm with you.
So this company has been working on trying to create this product for a while, and they came up with basically a longboard-style skateboard that has the traditional four-wheel design, but balanced in the middle of it is also the normal caster-style wheels that are powered. And so when you end up perfectly balancing on the middle of it, you end up having that full caster sort of feel to it, but you can control motors on the casters through an RC-style trigger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it creates some really interesting moves, and I'm thrilled to see this become like a full-blown project or product that I can see on the streets all over the place, because I'm really interested to see what people do for like skate videos and so on for this thing, because it's pretty crazy being able to slide into like a sideways snowboard turn and then propel yourself forward while sliding sideways. There's a lot of balance involved, but if you're in snowboarding and whatnot, I'm guessing you probably have that at least in small quantities. So
I'm getting not that these aren't hoverboards.
No,
just like
there's no hovering happening.
I was just totally picturing like, you know, Back to the Future 2, like, you know, they thought, you know, in 2015 or 16, whatever it is. You know,
right.
You know, they got to have those. Like,
well,
we
don't
these.
Have that. And it still wouldn't work on water.
Yeah. But we've got these things.
Yeah, in a way, it's an upgrade on that design, because they also could not actually apply any momentum forward when they were trying to maneuver sideways. So.
Yep. Unless you've
got power!
Speaking of power.
Power of the robots, power of the
heart?
Mars Curiosity rover, which has survived several years on the red planet. And
did you know
that
robots live on Mars? Like, if you think about humans populate Earth, you know, the animals and stuff.
Yeah.
Robots populate Mars.
They do have us beat on the population scale.
Yeah.
They're like the species.
They're like easily 2-1 versus humans. Like probably more than that.
Yeah. There's so many robots on there right now.
There's so many more robots and humans on Mars right now.
We need that Michelangelo.
It's
Anyway, so robot
head explode
on Mars.
Yeah, and recently the JPL, which is the Jet Propulsion Laboratory division of NASA, who, in case you
had, they have power.
They do actually have power.
That's minds working.
Yep.
What was it? The Mad Dog? Is that?
What they have makes the Mad Dog look like a toy.
It was technically a toy. So, yeah.
But anyway, they've recently released some more pictures from that Curiosity has taken of itself while it's been on the red planet.
Curiosity is taking selfies?
Curiosity takes selfies. But what makes them really interesting is that...
That's fairly curious.
It kind of shows what a harsh environment Mars actually is and how a device as built as tough as Curiosity is, how much it's actually still like kind of creating interesting situations for it. It's like, you know, the
it's taking a licking is what you're saying.
It's you can see how the terrain has been not exactly kind to our little robotic friend.
Dang.
But at the same time, it's also a testimony to over engineering the heck out of this thing. Because it's still operating.
Cra-heck.
Yeah. And it functioned, you know, really, and is still giving us good data about what it is like to be on the red planet. And so,
I still just like a little Johnny Five Head. I think that's nice. It's a good touch. Although it needs an eyebrow, like a single solitary eyebrow. But yeah, that's just me.
So there you go. It's like
Photoshop.
While our fine robotic friends are a great asset, we also need to remember to be kind to them as they traverse space. You know.
Yeah. Stop throwing rocks at them, nature.
Yeah. What up? So there you go. Just some interesting photos, seeing like the wear and tear and how the dust affects our robotic friends.
You know.
No.
Speaking of, like, this popped in my head.
Okay.
You know how like with Sputnik and stuff, they sent dogs and the, mm-hmm. you know, the monkeys and sent animals right. up in space, right?
Right. Sputnik didn't do that, but
dogs were sent into space.
Yeah.
It was part of the same era. That's yeah. not, let's not no. analyze this to death.
I was just trying to be a jerk.
But damn, mission successful.
I'm kidding. What if, yes. like, the aliens that we find
right.
are like the pets of the aliens?
From the movies?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, sure, those. Okay. But, like, just aliens in general. Like, what if, like, us, the first things we shot out were dogs and monkeys and cats? What if wow, the first that... aliens that we encounter or have already encountered, some claim, were, like, the pets?
That's really deep, actually.
And speaking of space and traveling, Roberto Orci, first draft of Star Trek III completed.
Oh, same okay.
Space travel. And
oh, there you go.
There we go.
See, Star Trek
space,
3.
The Final Frontier.
That's right. It's moving along ahead as planned. The director confirmed that the first draft for the Paramount film is now completed. Orci told TrekMovie.com, not Latino Review,
ooh,
that he had finished. yeah. They had finished the first draft of Star Trek 3 with his co-writers John D. Payne and Patrick McKay. Quote, P and M and I wrote, fade out. Yesterday on first draft. Things are moving. Orci wrote on the website's forums. This will be the directorial debut for Roberto, who is also well known for his writing work on the first two Star Trek films, The Amazing Spider-Man series and Transformers. He plans to make Star Trek 3 the closest movie yet in the new franchise to the original TV series.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how well he accomplishes that.
Yeah, what route they decide to go.
Yeah, plus it'll be nice to also see them veer away from, like, the movie realms of Trek into a new direction for the series, a whole new adventure.
A new old direction.
Yeah, because they're now, like, kind of officially on their mission to explore.
Yeah, the five-year mission.
Right. Yeah.
To explore strange new worlds.
They're officially...
Seek out new knife.
Right.
they're, civilizations.
They're officially in the TV show right now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right this moment.
Right.
Two. Well, they go where? Everyone's gone before. Wait, no. I said that wrong.
Right.
Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah. I was saying, what does Tarzan have to do with this?
They'll find Tarzan swinging through space. Space Tarzan.
Which is arguably Khan.
There you
go.
Yeah.
Bring it right back around.
Right. Nicely back around. Done. That's what we do here on Robots Attack. Well, that's going to do it for the news. We're going to take another music break. But before that, Caleb, how can the audience be part of the show? Be one of us. Communicate with one of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, we like you. We really like you.
We do.
You're listening right now. That means you're totally awesome.
We think you're special.
And we think... it would be totally awesome if you were to get in contact with us. And the best way to do that is either on Facebook, do facebook.com/robotsattackshow, or just do a search for us, Robots Attack. Or go to Twitter and look for us. We are Robots Attack Me. It's all one word smashed together. And if you're like, wait, just give me one place to go, robotsattack.me. Our website with links to everything you want to find under the interact page. Interact
that,
link.
That's right. All right. Let's get to that music break, and then we'll come back with some geek talk.
Oh, yeah.
Right after this.
Luna Park Arts Foundation is once again sponsoring the 7th annual Luna Park Chalk Art Festival on Saturday, September 20th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Blackesto Park in downtown San Jose. Proceeds from the festival support local artists and youth art programs. We hope to be able to support even more art programs and artists this year. The festival hosts an array of talented artists chalking the pathways of the park and is also host to some of the best musical groups, performers, food trucks, arts, crafts, vendors in the area. It is truly a day of artistic celebration. Please visit the website at www.lunaparkchalkart.org to find out more about the event.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at robotsattackme. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We are now on Geek Talk.
Yes.
Where we kick back, talk about some stuff that we've done, played, seen.
Mm, right.
Just personal fun stuff.
Yeah.
We get to kick back and lay back. Mm-hmm. No rules, no pressure,
I've
man.
Been really stressed up until this point right here.
Yeah. Hey, the news is tough. You want to make sure that you give the people something interesting.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That they'll remember.
Yeah.
Now we can just talk about whatever and, you know, it's like,
they
like
chill.
It, they like it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hopefully they like it.
Now we
please
can free
stay,
ball
don't change the station.
Yeah. We think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, speaking of things that were cool.
Yeah. One of the things that we did, Tuesday, we went to go see,
Godzilla.
Yes, Godzilla. The Rift Tracks
not
live
the one
version.
That you're probably thinking. Yeah.
Yeah.
This one is the Matthew Broderick Fights Dinosaurs.
Right.
Why would you go and
in
see
its
that
glorious
in the
return it's, to the big screen?
Yes. It's something to the big screen. It isn't well, it was a return to the big screen. I'll leave it at that. It's a good thing we watched on Rift Tracks cuz man that movie was awful.
Yeah, it's funny. It's I remembered really liking well, not like really liking. I remembered liking the movie way mm-hmm. back when I saw it on the big screen the first time.
Right.
And it probably had something to do with me not minding Broderick so much and being an outright fan of Jean Reno. So
mm-hmm.
that was helpful, I'm sure.
Yeah. Like of all the people in the movie, I felt the worst for Jean Reno because I'm like, wow, he actually has a career. He's actually pretty successful. What's he doing in this movie?
Oh, right. Well, I'm sure somewhere Matthew Broderick is cringing over that remark, but it's like I do plays in New York. What?
That's true.
I was Bueller.
He hasn't been.
I am once and forever Bueller.
Fair point.
No, but, I understand where you're coming from, though.
Mm-hmm.
He's much. Better known and better representation in mm-hmm. the world, mostly in France. But
yeah, I mean, he is more famous in France.
Right.
He comes
from France.
Yeah. It doesn't hurt that we both saw The Professional, which is kind of like which was really excellent, kind of turned me into a Renault fan, made look up some of his other movies. But that's none of that is about Godzilla and Rift Tracks.
Right. We won't talk about what we actually
it's
did.
Turned into a genre no log fest.
Right.
But
women, no children.
If you haven't heard of Rift Tracks, they are it's a reuniting of the creative team behind Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Right. And women and children are allowed to come to that.
Yes. Every so often they do kind of big budget films. Like the way it normally works is that they sit around and they watch a movie and they record themselves making fun of it, and then they release the audio track as a separate file so you can watch it with another movie. Mm. So you get them plus the other movie,
which is a really awesome thing unless you're trying to stream the movie, in which case it's
don't do that. Yeah. Yeah. You need to have it on disc because constant bit rate was how the jokes and the timing happen.
Right. A joke without timing
is just
less
not there.
Than stellar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun to watch to go to these events, and also because
the timing's correct on them. They sync it up pretty well.
Sync it up real good. But yeah, it's also enjoyable. It's like it's not just you and your friends hanging out at your house, which is also awesome. It's you and a theater of people,
and watching a theater full of people as well.
Yes,
which is an interesting experience.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of a box and a box and a box, and then your head explodes because it's Inception. Yeah.
And they made that joke sort of in the movie also.
Yeah, they did. But yeah, it's just fun watching them make fun of movies that are patently bad, but at the same time rather enjoyable in their terribleness.
Yeah, yeah, it's funny the movie to me what made it almost criminal was that it was like really slow and boring.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, for like a popcorn like summer flick, like I guess I just had way more patience when I was younger, and I don't know what that says about me. I don't know what's been going on that I've completely lost all of my patience, but still,
this movie
was boring.
There are movies that have a pacing that are more sedate, that are more that are not melancholy, but very, that are more mellow.
No, it was melancholy.
It was just dumb. And then there's movies that are bad.
No, I dare you. You have to back that up. Tell me one dumb thing about that movie. Bring it. Come on.
Ooh, throw down.
What's dumb about Godzilla?
For starters, adding the egg laying was sort of strange. But
why?
The main thing that I thought was exceptionally stupid was that the helicopters didn't figure out that they had a go up direction,
right,
on there.
That was one of the better jokes that they made.
Yeah. If only this hot helicopter had a go up button.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, they do. That was like one of the dumbest things. Like, we need this chasing to be exciting. We'll have the helicopters fly through the buildings of New York while chasing a giant reptile. Why not have them fly over the buildings of New York and chase a giant
and
reptile?
And it's sort of, I don't know if they intended it this way, but it sort of ends up being a reference to a Firefly episode as well.
Yeah, kind of. They did. Yes. Oh, man. There's just a bunch of like questionable decisions that were made in the film itself, and then seeing them picked apart by people that are professionals at making fun of things is fun.
Yeah, but I mean, Broderick and Renault, they were right about everything.
Yeah.
And they're the main characters, so I mean, you can't expect everybody to be a main character.
Yeah.
There has to be some dummies out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, otherwise, the world is boring.
So where does this one fall into the riff tracks scene?
It's one of the better ones, but it suffers mostly because the movie, like,
is boring.
Occasionally, there was parts where there was just so little going on that they had nothing to work with.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just kind of like, wow.
Right.
Which... When it was on and they were on, it was good. But when the movie wasn't giving me anything to work with, it was just kind of like, this movie's bad.
Yeah, it's funny because it's from back when, like, the CGI was, like, it was impressive for its day. But, like, going back now and watching it, it's not terribly good graphics or anything like that.
Yeah.
But they were still restrained by, like... budgets back then for all of this stuff, because
there wasn't as many effects houses out there to split up the scenes, so they could spend more time working on each scene to make it better, like in Guardians of the Galaxy and most any other major motion picture these days. Like, you watch the effects list, I think, oh, there's 11 different effects film houses that made this film.
True.
Right. But yeah, this one did not have all of those effects houses, and so it had very little of Godzilla, which is kind of the main point of the movie.
Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, as much people groused about how this year's Godzilla movie was not enough Godzilla, it was a satisfying Godzilla, at least. This one was mildly entertaining Godzilla, as opposed to actually satisfying.
No, okay. Stay with me here.
Okay.
Okay. I have a theory that this brings up.
Okay.
I think we need to go back to the rubber suits.
Okay.
Just because we need to be able to construct more scenes with Godzilla for future movies without spending like tons and tons of money. So, I mean, just like a shot here and there of a guy in a rubber suit. I mean, you can make a good rubber suit these days.
It's true.
Right.
Yeah, Stan Winston and company have shown that they're quite good at making effects costumes.
Right.
It's true. Here's hoping that the new Power Rangers movie's got some shots of some guys in some rubber suits.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Actually, that would
not be terrible. I would be sort of entertained by that.
Well, speaking of things that were surprisingly entertaining, Jason and I saw the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
And I'm really excited to talk about it.
Yeah, because we actually liked it. I mean...
It was really enjoyable.
It's dumb.
It's bad.
Don't get us wrong. It's bad. It's dumb. But it's fun.
Right. It's bad in a way that doesn't need riff tracks.
Exactly. It's like, okay, Guardians of the Galaxy, what we spoke about last time, kind of the key word I think we all got out of it was fun. This, same thing, fun. But Guardians of the Galaxy, it's like good fun. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, dumb fun.
Right. Okay.
But yeah.
Check your brain in at the door and get it, and then enjoy the movie.
Because they're teenagers.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, and
they're
and,
not going to be highbrow.
Exactly. And I, after a while, like, I actually liked their designs. Like, okay. I mean, the...
Yeah, they're jarring at first.
First, but once you kind of get used, like, I thought, like, yeah, these guys definitely look like they could take on people. Like, they were a little more impressive looking, you know.
Yeah.
Than, say, like, the... 90s version one or something. Or...
Yeah, they completely changed the situation in a lot of ways, so I understand a lot of the outcry of the Ninja Turtle purists, but
yeah,
I mean, considering that this is a Bay production, I thought it was amazing.
Yeah. And with what did one explosion? Or
one explosion, the entire movie.
Wait, what?
One explosion.
Are you sure it was a Michael Bay film?
Well, it's Michael Bay is a producer. Produced.
Ah,
he didn't direct
that's
it.
Right.
Right. Okay. It was directed by the director of Battle Los Angeles.
Okay. For some reason, I know you guys had mentioned, so one of you had mentioned that before, but that did not connect in my brain.
Yeah.
Now it makes a little more sense why it doesn't seem completely terrible anymore. Okay.
Yeah.
Or why it was actually, why you get something out of that. Okay.
Yeah.
So, speaking of things that aren't terrible, let's talk about getting some free radio time. Would you like to get some free radio time?
Maybe.
KSCU loves to broadcast announcements about local nonprofits and government agencies. Email traffic@ksku.org with information on your services or upcoming events, and we will consider making an announcement for your organization.
Yes. And I will say, though, at least for me, like, the turtles were the best part of the movie. Like, yeah.
Well, that's good.
I didn't really care. Like, I don't have anything against Will Arnett, but his character was pretty
pointless.
Worthless. Yeah. They didn't give him really anything to work with. Megan Fox, I thought, was fine. Like, I actually kind of liked how they sort of didn't poke fun at her, but, like, poked fun at her situation, like, with her roommate. Just, like,
right.
When she would kind of bring up this, like, oh, it's this, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, it was sort of genius in a dumb sort of way, the way that they handled it, because she kept having... these moments where she'd figure everything out.
And yeah.
It was like a big deal to her, but of course it makes her sound absolutely insane.
Insane. You know, if someone came up to you and told you, you know, I, you know, saw these giant turtles or teenagers mutated and they're ninjas and stuff, you know, but was like, you know, dead serious, your reaction would probably be like, okay.
Right. Even if you've done what now? As attractive as Megan Fox.
Yeah. So yeah, and it had like some slow motion action sequences, which I get kind of tired of when they do multiples of those. But overall, I thought a lot of the fighting was really cool, and I liked
Raphael's still my favorite.
Yeah, I still liked Michelangelo. They did have what seemed there were definitely a few kind of dud lines in my book that kind of felt like they were written perhaps in a like older draft or something.
They just
kind of seemed like sort of dated jokes, like they could have thrown something better in there. But then they had like, I mean, I don't know why this was so funny, but when they mentioned like, how are we going to finish our Christmas album? Like, that shouldn't have been funny, but it was.
It set the stage for the entire sense of humor of the movie. If basically, I have one message for everybody out there.
Yeah.
Go out there, give the movie a chance, and like literally, like make yourself give the movie a chance for yeah. just a second. And then you will see some pretty good humor in it, I almost guarantee.
Yeah.
Okay. And in a weird sort of way, it has the same problem that I was trying to say needs to be fixed in the Godzilla movie. Is I really liked the way they executed the turtles with CG and everything, but they need it to be like at least half rubber suits, just because the best thing in the movie was the turtles, and they couldn't use them as much as they probably should have because they had to throw giant amounts of the budget in order to create them.
Right.
So, some hybrid of the two, I think, is necessary for the movie to move forward without the budget getting ginormous with every single incarnation, which, yeah, there's going to be more of them. So.
Yeah, they did Green Light in the sequel.
All right.
But yeah, I think if you're a fan of Ninja Turtles and you just go in realizing, yeah, it's a dumb movie, but
yeah,
just have fun with it. There's stuff in there I think you should enjoy.
For the first 15 minutes of the movie, pretend like it has nothing to do with Michael Bay.
Yeah.
I think that might help a lot of people.
Yeah, I kind of wish they hadn't mentioned Michael Bay's name. I mean, obviously they can't not mention his name.
I don't think he ever did, though. That's the thing. Like, it's everybody else. Like, it's the media conglomerate that's, like, pegging it, no Michael Bay movie.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, whenever his name attached to the project sets most people back just going,
Right, yeah.
Not because, and it's an irrational reaction to...
No, it's rational.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it's rational. I'm saying this is the exception to the rationality. Yeah.
And I think the bigger part of it is that what you guys brought up is that Michael Bay did not direct. He was producer. He just helped make it happen. And it's kind of one of those things like people that help make things happen may not necessarily need to be in the director's chair.
Yeah.
And when he makes his own movies, he makes his own movies. That's his thing. I don't have to watch them.
No.
Yeah. But I shouldn't reject movies that I have someone else's as director just because his name happens to appear in the credits. It's like, I should probably give this movie a chance.
Yeah, and to me, it's very comparable with the old Ninja Turtles movies in that they were not like works of art or anything like that. Yeah. They were just about making a fun thing about things that are Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that 90s one is still there, so it's not like all the copies have been burned.
It has not
too.
Been destroyed.
Sorry, so you can still enjoy both. Anyway, that's going to do it for Geek Talk. Take another music break and then come back with the core. Caleb, I believe you have our first topic for the core?
Yeah.
Just a brief
synopsis
tease.
Talking about the trend in gaming towards being more female friendly.
Nice. All right, we'll be back with more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound.
You are now entering the core. Say.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We are in the core. Caleb has our topic.
That's right. As I mentioned, I was talking about recently when E3 happened, in case you hadn't noticed, one of the bigger gaming events of the year. And in it, Ubisoft released footage of the new Assassin's Creed, and then
the world went crazy.
After they went crazy, going, "Ooh, that's cool." Several people noticed that. Wait, well, there's no female assassins. And then they went crazy a second time in different ways. And according to different reports, one of the defenses of the not having female assassins was that they didn't have enough time to generate the animations for female characters.
Yeah, that was official from Ubisoft.
Mm-hmm. And recently I found not so long ago, I found an article on Polygon kind of
digging into some of the technical aspects about why that isn't a why that is a somewhat legitimate defense, mm-hmm. and also they didn't just pick on why it's a thing, but also how do we solve this? Like the Cindy Studios thinks they may have actually solved how to differentiate scale, gender, and still bit work off of the same basic animation capture that they got from the performances the first time around.
Because it's worth pointing out, too, that a lot of the outcry was actually in response to Ubisoft's saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Is a lot of people ended up saying that, oh, well, that's impossible in this day and age. How can it be difficult to render somebody who's different than another person?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And have them move.
And if you're unfamiliar, probably why this got a lot of steam as well with Unity specifically is because mm-hmm. it's four-player co-op.
Right.
Yes.
So, because if they're like, well, Assassin's Creed is just like, well, okay, the main character, so they didn't have it, but now that they're introducing this four-player co-op, that was kind of fueled this discussion about
And don't get me wrong, too. Like, I feel free to dump on people who are overly critical of the technical side of things, but it's still bad on Ubisoft for releasing a game too quickly to not have fully considered and realized female assassins in it as well. That's just dumb on them.
Yeah.
They should have taken their time, especially since it's a company that is known for taking their time. They didn't do it is just beyond me.
Yeah, and they have one or two other games where they feature a female assassin, but it's the lone main character, so it's they could take the time to create the animations for that character. Or
supporting characters.
And that's one of the things that it's not an insignificant task to create a fully realized set of animations for these characters. It's it's relatively straightforward to create animations with motion capture and things like that, but tailoring it to express the emotion and the movement of a particular character is actually not a small thing. It's not a minor task.
Well, okay. In my view, it's a minor task if you don't have any artistic value to it whatsoever. But people tend to like having a little bit of art to it.
Especially if it's going to be a main character or a playable character. You want it to kind of be more than a background piece.
You want them to emote.
Yeah, at least somewhat with the way they move.
So you're saying it's not just copy, paste,
and
document.
Right.
Okay. You can't just take the animation, paste a new skeleton, a new skin over it, and
cut, paste boobs.
Yeah. If you do that, people will notice, and they'll be like, that animation. Like, they won't be able. They may not be able to identify what it is, because some people are not as savvy about what it is about something that, or may not have the language to describe what it is. They're not sure about this character, but people will notice that the character doesn't feel quite right, or that there's something clunky about the way they're moving. And if you just cut and paste, that's what you'll get.
And if you look closely, you can actually see it in one of my favorite series in Mass Effect, because they do separate captures for all of the actual speaking stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And tweak all of the responses depending on whether it's a male or female main character that you have.
Right.
But when it comes down to the actual action, it ends up kind of breaking down, and the female characters run a little bit male, quote unquote. Like, there's just a clunky movement to them in general, which can be shrugged off as far as them just wearing a lot of armor, but to me, that doesn't really explain all of it either.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something that you don't want to shrug off. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? You can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. So, Caleb, what do you pose to us.
Yes, pose. Pose away, my friend.
I guess the main thing is, like, since we have this challenge, like, where do we see this going in the future? Like, you know, as the gaming audience becomes ever larger and more inclusive, I'm just curious, like, when the tipping point will happen where a character that is not Lara Croft or some, or like who's going to be like the character or the franchise that brings in everyone, like Call of Duty does for shooters. Not that everyone likes Call of Duty, but like the numbers are large.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mass Effect accomplishes much of this, but their numbers are not Call of Duty numbers. I'm just kind of curious, like, who or when will, or if we'll, we will get a game that does brand cover that.
Because GTA ground. Hasn't done it yet. Mm-hmm. They haven't had a female main character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, they've had a female assassin main character in Liberation, mm-hmm. but it was not to, you know, say it wasn't as good as the others, but just it wasn't like 1, 2, or 3. You know,
yeah.
It was kind of one of the cider ones. I mean, originally showed up on the PSP and then mm-hmm. got ported again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know who's going to,
because we're the audience is not the female gaming audience isn't going to be shrinking, I think, anytime soon. And I would like
there's a few of them out there.
Yeah,
just
the women's.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I kind of would have thought like, oh, Nintendo, but they mm-hmm. really haven't either. I mean, they have.
And they've
like,
been doing some interesting, some odd things too lately. Like when. They with the Smash Brothers game specifically, mm-hmm. they have the Samus character, which a lot of
mm-hmm.
she's like the original video game girl that's like strong character and everything,
mm-hmm.
and it seems like every chance that they get to kind of whittle that down into a less spectacular thing, they kind of take that opportunity. They recently released that there's an alternate costume for her, not just the Zero suit, mm-hmm. which already caught a lot of flack because she's wearing high heels in the Zero suit.
And
no.
Don't get me wrong, they're really cool looking high heels. They're like, they're all like jet powered and everything. They look neat to me. It explains to me why she can still do like all of these cool moves in high heels and with not a mech suit. But still, I understand that the optics of putting her in a slinky suit with high heels,
mm-hmm.
not ideal. Well, they did another version of that suit where it's no longer has the suit. It's a bathing suit. It's a bathing suit with the high heels. And that's going to be one of the costumes for the game. Yeah, it seems odd to me. I mean,
So they've had, like, if we look back, they've had Faith from Mirror's Edge.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
right.
granted, I would say Mirror's Edge was probably more of, like, a cult hit.
Yeah.
I think it sold decently, but it's nowhere near.
I think it's considered more of a designer's holy grail than an actual game player's holy grail.
Yeah. And so that had a female protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Remember Me, which had a female protagonist. Mm-hmm. Again, not another one
Didn't
that really
do
sold.
Terrible well.
Yeah.
Terribly well. So, yeah, I don't. I mean, I don't know who's
like the only female protagonist I know of that has any sort of like that's had any like major amount of success that isn't Samus is Lara Croft. And,
yeah.
And the argument is there that Lara is not going to be able to have the numbers at this point since
mm-hmm.
she's specific to the Xbox system.
I guess it's just interesting, like how I guess in sort of like movies, like, you know, as they've evolved, as the characters have changed, as audience participation and expectation has shifted,
uh-huh.
it's like seeing how like these companies that have traditionally done a specific type of experience, how they're having to either struggle or not quite or stumble as they try and figure out how they do how they make it more inclusive.
I'm really surprised there hasn't been a non-Link Zelda yet.
Yeah.
I mean, they keep making the character stronger and stronger, the Zelda character, every incarnation, from what I understand. So why they just haven't outright made her the action hero since it's named after her every time.
Yeah.
I've never understood, but...
Yeah. The new Alien game you're going to play is Ripley's daughter.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. That's potential.
I guess a question I'll pose to you... Do you want to see one of these major companies do it first, or would you rather see, like, do you want to see a new IP with a new, like, with a female protagonist as the, you know, main character, or do you want to see, like, the next GTA or the next, I don't know. Fill in blank with popular games.
To me, the only way that it's going to happen anytime relatively soon is if one of the next main characters in the next Call of Duty game ends up being a female character. Like if the core single player campaign is centered around a female character in that, that's the only way to kind of get the numbers that you're talking about. And even then, arguably, it's not really going to be quite right because so much of that series is based around the multiplayer anyway. So,
Yeah, it'll be interesting. In terms of like what I would like to see a major title come out that had a solid choice as a female character. Like, I'm not saying eliminate male characters. Obviously, that'd be ridiculous.
No, kill them all.
But like the. Seeing an alternative there would be pretty awesome. My suspicion is that it may turn out to be an indie studio that takes the chance first because they have less financial incentive. The financial hurdle to recover the cost of making the game is low enough that they can push the bounds of what a lead character can be without just bankrupting the company or losing a lot of money in the process, which is I feel weird saying that out loud because it makes it sound like the big studios just aren't gonna do it, and you know I would love to see one of them take that chance, but at the same time I also know how the budget for these games is on par if not more than major motion pictures.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of investment up to for question marks on the other side of the equation or unsuredness of exactly whether the scales will balance or not or tip in their favor. So I don't know. It's a weird question because until you have a really good example of that, you can't, it's hard to point out like what it would be like. And yeah, I don't know.
So you're talking about purely from a monetary perspective, it making as much as a Call of Duty game.
I would like to see one that can turn in numbers like a Call of Duty game. Maybe, but if not in actual revenue, but in like maybe perhaps audience draw. That would, you know, because it seems like
market share.
Market share. Like, I guess I hate to be to flog the Mass Effect horse, but it's so far, it's been one of the few games that I know of that's had a lot of success bridging male-female audience participation. I've heard from a number of people that it has been used to bring them into gaming as a hobby and also gaming as something that isn't just a bunch of 13-year-old boys not that any of us are 13, but you know that's like
I am at heart.
It's like the comic book geek stereotype. Like there's very few comic book geeks are like that anymore. There's still a few, obviously, but like that stereotype is just a stereotype. It doesn't actually reflect reality at all. So it's like,
yeah, I think it's cool to see like with this second season of Telltale's Walking Dead, you're actually playing as Clementine. Mm-hmm. And so that sort of just dynamic to it changes up the game, because here you are, you're playing this little girl that you were trying to protect in the first season. Now you're actually her.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's kind of neat what that does for the story and whatnot. Because, yeah, like, for me, it's always been, like, if the story fits, like, I don't know. I just hate the idea of, like, okay, we need to make a game with a female main character because, like...
We need a female main
character. We need a female... Like, I want it to be, like, natural, like, organic to the story. But then, on the flip side, I don't like the excuse of, like, well... Like, they kind of gave with GTA 5. Like, well, when we were coming up with the story, we didn't really see, like, any of the stuff fitting, like, a female character, which I think is total crap.
Mm-hmm.
Having played the game myself, I think they could have used a female character as those. But anyway, like, I like to prefer to see it naturally, like, grow organic from the story. Mm-hmm. But...
Which, honestly, if they do that, it will be 99 times more successful because they didn't throw a character in. They actually, you know, crafted a story and a character that fits.
But it's hard, too, on the flip side of there's... They need to get more people involved that have the power to make those kinds of games.
Yes.
Than wait, kind of waiting on some dude or something or someone, you know, to like, well, okay, I'm going to do this. Like,
yeah.
There is definitely a vacuum in the industry of people that have access to that kind of,
But it's also, I think you kind of mentioned as well, like, if you bring up sort of the movie thing, how, like, a particular movie will come out in a year and then it gets really popular and suddenly, like, a bunch of other movie studios want to sort of capitalize on it by making something sort of similar, right, like a similar style or something.
The clone effect.
Yeah. So if someone can come out with a really cool game that has, like, a good female protagonist or something, and it does end up selling really well or gets really popular within pop culture or whatnot, like, maybe that's something that needs to happen to get people to think outside of the box. Like, well, okay, we were just going to make this game about this space marine or, you know, whatever, but maybe as a result of this one being super popular, it sort of, like, got some ideas rolling in people's heads, like, well, maybe we can tweak, or maybe we can do this. Like, maybe the next Dead Space game is it's a female protagonist or something. And,
I think games like that, where it's the game is not built on machismo of some form or another, I think they have a stronger chance of that, like, being a good launching point for characters that are not traditionally macho.
I think as long as Vasquez and Aliens is a badass. I think you can still have a machismo or badass female character. It's just, you know, as long as you do it in a genuine style and it's not like, oh gosh, they're just like copy paste, you know, male space marine guy, but it's just
they stuck a female
boobs on him,
put a wig on him. And I guess that's the thing. It's like, you know, the fine line between, is this a masculine trait or a feminine trait, or is it, is that irrelevant?
Now, did you bring up you mentioned there was an actual indie studio that created.
I linked to the, on our page, sent the story out. They're working on a,
couldn't remember if you, but it was something to sort of look at the technical aspect.
They're making a game called The Mandate, and it's, near as I can tell, it looks like it's more of an MMORPG or an RPG-esque game, where, like, there's a lot of customization of the characters, and so they have to create a lot of variation in these characters, and they think they have actually found a means to tweak the animations programmatically so that it actually will scale correctly to a different physique, a different body type, a different gender, even. So
bone structure.
Yeah. Because like it's like one of the pictures in the article is like comparing like, you know, three different like character models and like showing like, you know, this is like, you know, on average, this is an average masculine character. This is an average female proportions. And then this is a male character that is not average weight. He's above average weight. Uh-huh. And, you know, like that even introduces problems or not problems, but challenges to just taking one animation and then turning putting it onto a new character.
Okay.
So near as I can tell, the company is, the person they were talking to, looks from his last name, he looks like he's probably Eastern European.
Oh, okay.
Michael Burst, Michael Bust, BUST. I'm not positive about the pronunciation. I apologize to those.
I'm going to go with Boost.
But they're working. One of the things that his company is working on is a tool which will help, you know, studios that may not have a budget to go out and capture like a bunch of different people.
Oh, okay.
To take maybe two or three decent captures and turn that into 100-something different characters that will adjust and move around the world as one would expect them to. So it's an interesting challenge because, you know, if you, like we said, like it's best to grow organically when you take a story and have characters that are in it that are good characters regardless of what their sex is or what they are or where they come from. It's like it's about characters and story, and the visual art should be supporting that, and that's kind of where the meshing is technical problems for like Assassin's Creed. But
yeah, and the games that perhaps don't necessarily rely on story or do have like that multiplayer aspect or something. Mm-hmm. If there's any sort of customizationable, you know, options in the game, it's like it's nice seeing more and more like female options. Like hopefully as games go along, it's just more and more. And I think that will also help too, just giving even just anyone the chance to play as a female character or be able to customize this and not just do your sort of standard like battle vixen or something, but you know, actually like have some cool options for
characters that aren't just one type, because there isn't just one character. Yeah,
exactly. Definitely. So, and I would say to wrap up my final thoughts, and I'll turn over to you guys. Anthony Birch, you get Anthony Birch, right?
Okay.
Okay.
You get Jennifer Hale to do the voice.
Okay.
And you get him to make some badass characters. Him, because he's made some badass female characters in Borderlands.
That's true. Too. It's true.
So I want to see that.
I'm all for that as well.
That would be quite the pairing.
Yeah, and to me, the biggest challenge is what you were alluding to earlier, is that you have two opposing things that there's not a good way to square them.
Yeah.
And nobody's figured out how to make them work well together, and that you can impose a character on somebody or work the other way around and build them from scratch. And either way has its own pitfalls that end up in an entire section of the population ruining the character. So finding that middle ground that everybody's happy with, that's the gold that nobody's found yet.
Yeah. And I don't mean to minimize the challenge that any developer is facing, because it's not easy, one, making a game, and two, making a successful game, and then three, making it accessible to as many people as possible. It's like, that's got to be all kinds of challenges.
And four, being green.
Being green, yeah. When you're the same color as the leaves.
It seems like it's just easier at this point to make a male character that a larger chunk of the population recognizes as a good character versus a female character where you're always going to have people split down the middle. And so it's always going to have more controversy over it.
Yeah.
It's true. Well, good discussion topic. And we could talk on it for many more.
Longer, yeah.
Yeah. But that's going to do it for the show tonight. Mm. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And Caleb, I know it's the end of the show, but the audience can still participate. How can they do that? One last time.
That's right. If you are interested in what we are about, if you want to be involved even at this late hour of the show, you can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow. That will take you to our page. You can leave comments there. You can talk about, you can leave your favorite characters, leave your favorite games featuring different characters or what have you. You can also hit us up on Twitter. We are robotsattackme. It's all one word smashed together. And our email address is robotsattackshow@gmail.com. But finally, if you want just one thing to remember, one place to go to get everything that's us and interact with us, robotsattack.me. That is our own website. We have archived episodes of the show, plus links to everything else I described underneath the interact button.
That's right. All right. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next Thursday from 6 to 8 here on KSU Santa Clara. 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. Have a wonderful weekend. Do something fun and or do something fun for someone who isn't expecting it. All right. Mm-hmm. On behalf of myself, Joe, Caleb, and Jason, good night, everybody.
Raccoon, Baradin, Mixto.